Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
I want to speak tonight and just talk a little bit about God's power. I'm leading into a series that we're gonna have here at the church on revival. And revival is pretty simple. You just get the bad stuff out of your life and get the good stuff in your life. And guess what that causes? Revival. Man, it'll change everything in your life. It'll change your finances, it'll change your health, it'll change the relationships of your life. Man, if you're thinking, man, your marriage is a little stale right now, let's get the bad stuff out of your life and get the good stuff in your life. And you know, I think the world calls that rehabilitation. But with us, man, God revitalizes us. God repurposes us. God sets our feet upon a rock and gets us out of the miry clay. In Matthew, the 10th chapter, Jesus called his disciples together, and he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal the sick, and over all kinds of disease. Just think about if that's really in us. But you know, it requires us being disciples. It requires us, listen, having an eye for God's word. It requires us having an ear for God's voice. It requires us to really pay attention. And really, honestly, it's not just about us being fanatics. It's about us having fanatical focus, that we focus on God's word. There's things in your life that you wish you could change right now. There's things in your life that you focus on, the negatives. What if you started focusing on what God's doing in your life? What if you started focusing on the work that God's doing in your life, the prevailing work that God's doing? When Jesus was sending out his 12 in Luke, the 9th chapter, he called his 12 together and he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the gospel of God and to heal the sick. You know, we've got power and the devil's got power, but we have authority. See, and he only has power on what we give him to have power over. Why? Because he doesn't have any authority. Jesus said this, all authority's been given me by God and things above the earth, on the earth, and under the earth. And he said, therefore go. See, we have the authority. And the only power that the enemy can exercise in our life is the power that we give him authority to have. In Acts, the 1st chapter, in the 8th verse, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. And Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. It's endless. It's limitless, the power that Jesus gives us. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, you know, Paul's inquiring of the Lord three times, pertaining a thorn in his flesh. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. See, you're worried about your weaknesses. You're worried about your issues. Let me just tell you, you begin to trust God and his strength is made perfect in your weakness. Man, let this just kind of percolate in you. Let it sit in you a little bit. And I'll tell you, the clincher for me leading up to the text that we're gonna go to as just the meat of this message is Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful. Listen, it's living and powerful. It's not boring. It's not something you can't understand. It's living and powerful. It's not sedentary. It's gonna do a work in your life. See, we have to understand that. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart. The word of God is living and it's powerful. And it's sharper than any. See, we have to understand that. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 1, and we're gonna just settle here this evening. We're gonna take advantage of God's word tonight. But listen, we're gonna see it and we're gonna hear it. Eyes are gonna be opened up tonight. We're gonna see it, we're gonna hear it. Ears, you're gonna hear God's voice clearly and distinctly. And I believe a spirit of wisdom and revelation is gonna come in every life of every person that's a part of this message tonight. Ephesians 1, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. He has blessed us, therefore you have it. Verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. That God chose us before the beginning of the world. Listen, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. This is what Jesus won for us. We're holy and without blame. It just doesn't feel like it sometimes. That's not the message you're getting from the enemy. The fiery darts aren't telling you that you're holy and without blame. But guess what? You are because of the work that God's done in your life, and you are because before the beginning of time, God made you that way. Let's keep reading here. Having predestined us. Man, religion's going to tell you you were predestined for heart attacks and strokes and high blood pressure and car accidents and broken arms and failure. Man, God's just testing you. God's just seeing that tumor God put on your kid. He's just testing you in that. No, the predestination of our life is not the situations and the circumstances. The predestination that's on our life is right here in the Word. Adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, which is his word, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. You're built now in the kingdom to be accepted in him. Man, some of you guys don't feel like you fit in the little cliques. You don't fit in groups and in things of the world and in certain people groups, but guess what? You fit with him. But he made us accepted. Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. See, according to the riches of his power, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Man, you're thinking about how you're going to get through things. Man, his power is going to abound toward you. See, but what you've got to do, you've got to fix your eyes on him. You've got to have fanatical focus, remember? Fanatical focus. You can't let the winds of the world dictate or teach you or try to drive you into some perilous situation. No, you know what? Man, whatever you're in right now, God's leading you through to victory. But thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge in every place. Man, that's what God's given us. But he's purposes in life, which he made to abound to us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will. Think about this. God's making known the mystery of his will. He's not keeping anything behind the curtain anymore. He's not keeping anything behind the veil anymore. Remember, the veil was there in Moses' law. The veil was there because Moses couldn't handle it. Why? Because man was separated from God. We're not anymore. Because of the finished work of Christ, listen, that veil has been rent. That veil has been torn. We can get on the God side of that veil now. And that's what we have to understand. According to the pleasure which he purposed in himself, he purposed it in love. See, that's what God's given us. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, but both which are in heaven and which are in earth, in him. Let me just tell you, in the margin of your Bible, in your notes, this is now. It's all come together for us. Man, the Old Testament's a type and shadow of what's to come. It hadn't all come together then. But now, this new and living covenant that we have, this better covenant, man, it's all come together. In him, we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined. Listen, here's that word again. Predestined according to the purpose who works all things according to the counsel of his will. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Verse 13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. See, it's easy to trust God after we see his promise. It's easy to trust God after we allow, listen, the channels of our receptors, our ears, to receive his purpose. See, he's not leaving anything out. He's predestined this for you in your life. Man, every good and perfect gift, he's predestined for you to receive. I'll tell you, if you could think about it, you know, it's funny because for so long they said you couldn't make up on your sleep. Man, if you were sleep deprived for a long time, you can't sleep for 8 hours and make it up. And now they realize you can. And I'll tell you, when I heard that, I thought, oh my gosh, the world's wrong about everything that, all the promise and all the good that God has in our life. Everything you've missed out on. How many of you guys have missed out on God's promise in your life? How many of you guys have missed out on some good in your life? How many of you guys have missed out on what God has for you in your life? Well, let me tell you something. Man, one opportunity in God's word brings that all together for you. Man, it all comes back. Man, everything that you missed out on, everything that you didn't have, everything that because of sin you were blinded from, God brings it all together in your life. And he does it in a moment, in an instant, because it works according to the counsel of his will, not what you've done in your past. And it all comes together for you. I'll tell you, you have to understand this. Man, you have to realize this. There's refreshing in this word. But it wasn't just for the church at Ephesus. It's for us. It's for us as believers. It's for us that we've missed out with things in our past or we've been looked over. Man, it's time for you to realize it's all going to come to a head. It's all going to come to the presence of God in your life. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, now listen, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It's not leaking out of your life. So many of you guys have God's promise, and it's engrafted in your heart. It's sealed in your life. Man, now you have to just release it by faith. Now that you just have to claim already what God's done in your life. Man, now you know what you have to do? You have to put a demand on God's promise that's already been sealed in your heart. Man, it comes with your salvation. Listen, your salvation here, where you're rescued, you're restored. Man, the broken parts of your life are restored, where there's nothing missing and nothing broken. Man, you're carrying things through life that God's looking for you to release. Remember, you've got to release the bad things. You got to get rid of the bad things, and you got to bring the good things into your heart. Man, you got to, and then what God does is he seals it. My goodness, how Sandy served God now for almost 40 years because God sealed that in her life. It's not because she walked as a superhuman being on the earth. It's because God sealed that in her. Man, how long Caitlin's been serving God? Because God sealed that in her. See, God's taking care of this. And see, that seal, there's a dual meaning to it. That seal is that seal of authority, but it also seals his presence in your life so it doesn't leak out. See, he's predestined this for you. He's given you the opportunity now, listen, to bank on this, to have leverage from this in your life. See, we don't use the leverage that God's given us. That's the power that God's given us. Do you understand? The world doesn't have leverage on us. In him we live and move and have our being. But what has God given? He's given us the advantage. He's flipped the script. He's given us the leverage. Man, I'm going to this meeting and, man, I'm just telling you, I don't know what I'm bringing in this meeting. You're bringing in the Lord of hosts. The name of the Lord of hosts is what you're bringing. See, you have to understand this. You have to look at it and you have to say, wait a second. I'm not the one that's deficient anymore. He's my sufficiency. Man, I inquired of the Lord 3 times to take this thorn from me. He said, my grace is made perfect. I'm your sufficiency. My grace is made perfect. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Man, the power of God. We're looking at our weakness and thinking we can't get by. God looks at our weakness and he's thinking, no, you're going to overcome. See, we're overcomers in this world, and we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Man, you think about the blood of Jesus now that sealed this promise for us in our lives. See, I don't think we understand this well enough, that we were sealed with the promise that God gave Adam and Eve. What did he say? He said, all this is yours. What did he say? Man, be fruitful, multiply, to take dominion. See, now I want you to really examine your life and examine your heart. What do you have dominion of in your life? No, think about it. Do you have dominion in your finances? Do you have dominion in your health? Are you putting your trust in anything but God? See, God wants to give you dominion in your relationships, in your parenting. You parents in here, do you have dominion in operating in your life with your children? Man, is that dominion being passed into their lives? Are we raising our kids to take dominion? Listen, it's different than dominating. Dominating is just a fruit of it. But the root is that I have dominion. I have dominion over sin. Man, how many of you guys have sin that it keeps dragging you down? Man, sin that keeps if it's like you're a horse and you keep getting bucked off. No, you know what? I have dominion over sin in my life now. I have dominion in my thought life now. Man, if you've got depression in your life, do you understand? God's giving you dominion over that depression. Man, but what do you have to do? You got to think on these things. See, God's love is unconditional. His promises are all conditional. Man, look at the seven letters to the seven churches that are written in Revelation. To each one, man, it's a different promise for each church. But you know what? It's the same condition on each promise. To he who overcomes. To he who overcomes. See, how do you overcome? You overcome, listen, in your mind. You overcome in your soul. You overcome in your emotions. Man, how many of you guys have dominion over your emotions? How many of you guys have dominion over your temper? How many of you guys have dominion over, listen, impatience? See, understand how this works. See, this isn't something it's like, man, I need. No, we have a general dominion that operates in our life. You understand? You go in to make a deal, and if somebody says no, you thank God, because God's got a better deal for you. Why? Because you have dominion. See, this is the understanding that we have to have. We can't walk on this earth like everybody else does. We can't wring our hands. We can't worry. We can't fret over anything. Man, as soon as you get anxious for something, I'm telling you, you have to have a ready word in your mouth. Why? It's been sealed in your heart. Man, that's how we combat this. You combat situations in your life, not with changing your thoughts. It's not positive thinking. It's not walking barefoot over a bed of coals. It's not chanting a bunch of positive things. No, you know what it is? It's declaring God's promise over your life. And you know, let me just tell you, you have to declare it. Why? Because you have dominion. See, if you've got dominion, you make declarations. There's peace in my home. Strife, you got to leave my house. Strife, you got to take every evil work that you brought in with you out of my house in Jesus' name. And then you know what? You follow it up with praise. You follow it up with thanksgiving. You follow it up with joy. You follow it up, listen, you follow it up with victory. I don't know, when's the last time you won? Man, when's the last time? What do you think? Winning the lottery is winning? I'll tell you, you don't want to hope that on anybody. Man, read what the Bible says about money that comes in big chunks when you're not prepared for it and you're not ready for it. Man, it crushes people's lives. The best thing that happens is that it goes through your fingers like you're trying to hang on to water. Man, God wants to bless you. It's not gambling. It's not rolling the dice. It's declaring God's promise. It's that you are sealed with a purpose. There's purpose in your life. You got to wake up and live to this purpose and not just clock in and clock out. Man, I'm just telling you, man, you look at it and what the enemy wants to do is just numb you and anesthetize you and get you to a place where it's like God, the passionate side of God's not a part of your life. Do you understand God is constantly mindful of you? God's thinking of you right now. And his thoughts are good and not evil. His thoughts give you a future and a hope. See, but let me tell you, we go to the New Testament. What do we call that? We call that the mind of Christ. Do you have the mind of Christ over the things that you're fretting about? No. Do you have the mind of Christ and think in areas that you're worried about? No. But the Bible says this. It doesn't say force it. It doesn't say grit your teeth and dig your heels in. It says let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Why? Because the mind of Christ comes with God's grace. It's a free gift. You let this mind be in you, the mind of Christ, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now listen, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery and ridiculous to be equal with God, to be in right standing with God. See, we believe in our heart unto what? Tell me. We believe in our heart unto what? What? Tell me. We believe in our heart unto righteousness, right standing, eye level with God. See, and that's the bottom line. We've got to believe. But you start worrying, what is that? That's doubt, that's unbelief, that's fear. What is it? It's crippling. You begin to panic. You become panic stricken. You have panic attacks. What am I going to do? I don't know. I got to go now. And let me tell you, you've got that kind of attitude. You make bad decision after bad decision. You start piling up, and the next thing you know, you're sitting on your couch, and the devil's saying, man, none of that stuff works, does it? The tithe doesn't work, does it? All that money you gave doesn't work, does it? See, that's what the enemy does. But you look at it and think, no, wait. This fear has robbed me. I've been a pawn. I've been a puppet for the devil. He's played me. God, forgive me. God, forgive me of my fear. God, your word promises you haven't given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and power and a sound mind. Is it interesting? Is it interesting that God says that he's given you a spirit of love and power, and then you know what he throws in? A sound mind. What does a sound mind do? Makes good decisions. What does a sound mind do? Man, walks into opportunity. See, we don't have to be opportunists. We don't have to oversell ourselves. See, what you have to understand, what lives in you as a believer in Jesus is the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. How am I going to get through this? This is going to resurrect. Man, this is going to come forth. I'm going to rise up. Man, today's the day of the Lord. Today's the day of my salvation. Today's the day I rise up. Well, we're just talking about money. God doesn't care about your money, really? For real. Remember that widow that gave the two mites? Jesus called it the best gift. Why? Came from her heart. She wasn't trying to put on a show. It came humbly. But guess what? It also came boldly. See, that widow could have sat there and gone, I'm just going to leave these two mites here. They don't need them anyway, but I'll just leave them here on this bench that I'm sitting on. No, she walked up with everybody that had big fat checks. They walked up and they put it in and they winked at the priest. And she walked in and just humbly just put it in that deal. Didn't make any sound, like dust hitting the bottom of that. But you know what? There was a boldness in her. She's given her two mites. See, you have to understand this, that everything, write this down. How God wants us to come to him is humbly and boldly. Humbly and boldly. God, I cast this care upon you because you care for me. Humbly and boldly. God, I'm gonna put a demand on your promise here. God, your word says, by whose stripes you were healed. God, I'm a believer in Jesus. And God, I thank you now that this fear that's been attached, this diagnosis I've gotten, God, I cast it on you. I cast my care upon you because you care for me. Guess what happens? It turns that situation around. Guess what happens? It brings you into a place of dominion. See, that's where God wants you to be. God wants me to be in a place of dominion. There's no way you would come to this church if I wasn't. There's no way that you'd sit here and listen to me on Wednesday nights or Sunday mornings if I lose that dominion, if I lose that edge, if I'm walking defeated. You're like, no. Why? Because you don't know what's in my heart, but you do know my fruit. If the fruit's good, guess what's good? The tree's good. If the fruit's bad, the tree's bad. Good fruit comes from dominion. Good fruit comes from fanatical focus on God's promise. Man, the Bible says to lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. Don't let your eyes depart from his word. Bind them around your neck. I'm telling you, you know what that is? That is fanatical focus. You know what that makes us? The most resilient people in the world. Why? Because God gives us a coating of spiritual Teflon. Man, the devil tries to throw things on us, and guess what? None of it sticks. None of it works. You know who the devil is? He's the author of confusion. You know who the devil is? He's the deceiver. You know who the devil is? He's the father of lies. Do you know who the devil is? Now listen, he's the accuser of the brethren. He has accused you into a corner. And you're thinking, oh my gosh, I'm cornered. There's no way out. What am I gonna do? No, you know what? You come to me with a sword, with a sword and a spear. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. See, this is the key. But listen, we've got to come humbly. It's not me. Yet boldly. It's interesting. It really is. And I'm telling you, this supernatural formula works. But I guarantee you, you look at your deficiencies, there's no boldness on your side. You've been passive. You've taken the hit and taken the hit and taken the hit and pride yourself in your toughness. I don't think toughness really is any good unless you win. See, understand, you got to get bold about it. Man, your kid's going the wrong direction. And I'll tell you what, your kid may be a toddler. Man, your kid may be, oh my God, he doesn't listen to a word I say. Stop saying that. You eat good the fruit that comes out of your lips. Well, that's what my grandmama said. Yeah, that's why God had to save you. See, you got to understand, it's life and death. It's life and death. The power of life and death is in your tongue. So what are you going to speak? What are you going to proclaim? Man, life, what's that going to give you? That's going to give you dominion. Man, dominion to what? Tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the evil one, and nothing will by any means harm you. Anybody say hey to that? Amen. Where the heck was I? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. Oh my goodness. Man, I printed these notes. Somebody printed these notes. I didn't do it. I don't even know where the printer is. But somebody printed these notes. And you know what? I'm just going back through them before church. And I'm reading back through them. I couldn't. My pen is just, it's almost involuntary. Underlining things, marking things, circling things. Man, I'm looking at this. After you heard the word of truth, it's circled in my life. You got to hear this. You can't just sit through it. You can't be looking at Facebook messages right now. Fanatical focus is what it requires. I'll tell you what, to receive from God, you got to shut the world off. You got to shut, isn't that right, Sandy? You got to shut the world out. Man, you get a little bit of word, a little bit of the world in with this and mix it with the word a little bit. What are you doing? I'm just making my own recipe. No. Start a church, call it Stupid Church. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. Verse 14 is something you need to meditate on and receive God's promise. Verse 15, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, don't cease to give thanks for you, making mention for you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, listen, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18, it's fixing to get good. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Why? Because you go back to verse 13, after you heard the word of truth. You hear the word of truth, what does it do? It enlightens your eyes. You're like, I see something different. Huh, it's funny I'm seeing this right now. It's funny I just heard that. Because you know what all I see now? You know what I see with you here? You two stand up right now. You two stand up. Because I'll tell you what, you know what I see in you two? Victory right now. That's what I see. We're hearing the word of truth. We heard the word of truth. And now, you know what? The eyes of my understanding are lightened, and I see victory. I see triumph. I'm just telling you, look at your hands. Everything you put your hands to prosper. There's healing in your hands. There's salvation on your lips. You got to proclaim it. I'm telling you, mark my words. You watch what happens in your life. You watch what happens in your marriage. I'm just telling you right now. And you're going to look and you're going to think, oh my gosh, I don't know how this happened. You know why? God's blessings come upon you, and the Bible says overtake you. God's blessings, lift your hands, Bob, and say this with me. God's blessings come upon me, and overtake me. Say it a couple more times. Let me get back to my notes. Come on, I want to hear you.
God's blessings come upon me and overtake me. Woo! God's blessings come upon me and overtake me.
Okay. Okay, but it hadn't got good yet. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. You're like, oh, good. Oh, good. The word will make sense to me now. Listen, that you, who's that mean? That you may know what is the hope of his calling. Do you understand where your hope is? Your hope's in him. But your hope and your plans and your ambitions are in his calling. Golly. No, and there's a brother here, and let me just tell you, who's become very prosperous in his life. And man, this church has just watched him and watched him and watched him. And you know what? I was having dinner with him. And a couple other guys, and the Lord just put it on my heart, said, you know what? God's helping you. He's building a tribe in you. Man, the people that are associated with you are going to be so blessed. It's going to be amazing. Man, it's like a tribe of the children of God that God's doing in him. Why? Because the hope of his calling is materializing even through his vocation. See, and that's the key. Some of you guys go, well, man, my call to preach? Man, I'm telling you what, you may have a plumbing business. Let me tell you, if the eyes of your understanding are enlightened, the hope of his calling is going to come through in that business. You hear me? And let me tell you, who God's called and walks in that calling is blessed. You can't help it. Let me keep going. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Let me tell you what should jump out at you right here. Riches. And you'll say, well, I think that's spiritual. Let me tell you what. Behind every natural law is a spiritual law. If you're blessed spiritually, guess where else you're going to be blessed? Naturally. You hear me? Blessed in spirit, with every spiritual blessing. Does that mean natural or spiritual? That means every. Now listen, the riches of his glory and his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness? I love it that he puts exceeding. Super greatness of his power toward us who believes. Do you think that power is just what God wants to do to us? No, that power is what God wants to do to us so he can do it through us. See, that brother that I was talking to, and I said, look, this is like a tribe that God's putting together for you. Man, this is like extended family. This is huge. Why? Because God did something to him. His power did something to him. And let me tell you what happens when the power of God does something to you. It begins to do something through you. Man, the people in your home. Man, I'm telling you, you girls in here, you wives in here, raise your hands. Wives, you begin to cry out to God for God to do a work to your husband. Because guess what? It'll come through to you. See, and this is the bottom line with this. God's word absolutely works. What does Hebrews 4:12 say? His word's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it is able. Everybody say, God's word's able. Exceeding greatness of his power according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. Verse 21, far above all principality and power, might and dominion. And I love this part. I love this part. I love, God put this phrase in here for me. And every name that is named. Hey, Doc, what do I have? You got a condition. Oh, I knew it. I had some symptoms. I knew I had a condition. What is it? You're just hoping he's not going to say, I don't know. You're hoping he's going to name it. You're hoping he's going to say a name. It's your, I can't even think of a name right now. But when that diagnosis comes and that name comes into play, I'll tell you what God does. God swells. He's like, he stands up at his throne. He's like, okay, just give me the word. Just give me the word. Let me decimate that name. That name above every name. That name above every name. Not only in this age, but also in the age to come. No matter what happens, this is generational. This is this right here, Ephesians 1:3-23 is what you should read it to your kid every day. Man, get it in them, deep-seated in them. Man, your kids get with a bunch of friends and they're saying, hey, let's go to the bar, let's go to the club, let's go do some clubbing. Meet me at the club. And you'll be going, well, shoot, everybody's going, it's not that big a deal. It's not that big a deal. And then guess what? Man, the eyes of his understanding, God, that word's gonna pop up in the eyes of his understanding. He's going, wait a second, I think the devil's in there. Why would I go in there and dance with the devil? Why would I go in there and partake in this? Why would I go into the darkness? I'm not going back to the darkness. You know what darkness is? Absence of light. I'm gonna stay in the light. I'm gonna live in the light. I'm the light. This is who I am. That's it, I'm done. God, I just thank you right now in the name of Jesus. God, thank you for your word. God, thank you for these great people. God, I thank you for Ephesians 1:3-23. God, I thank you that we get it deep within us. God, deep seed your word in us. God, we want the product of your word. We want the product of your promise. God, root your word in our hearts so that fruit prevail in our lives. God, I thank you for Holy Spirit fruit. Your promised fruit, God, in our lives. In the name of Jesus. I just want to ask, is there anybody in here tonight that your life's not right with God? I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. I just want to give you an opportunity, listen, to get on track. Man, just to get back on track with God. Man, to fulfill God's purpose in your life. Man, some of you guys may have just strayed a little bit because of some pressure that you've had at work or some pressure that you've had financially. Man, some of you guys may have got off track because you had a kid. Some of you guys may have got off track because you changed jobs or you moved or you just got out of sync and you looked up and the next thing you're like, God, where are you? God, where am I? God, what's going on? But if you're here today and your life's just not right with God, you know it. Maybe you're apathetic. Maybe your life is just, your heart's just kind of waxed cold to God. Whatever it is. And you know you're not fulfilling God's purpose. Doggone it. If I could do anything right now, I'd snatch you up from where you are and stick you right in the middle of God's purpose. That's it. That's what life is. That's where abundant life is. That's where fulfillment is. That's where joy, it's where happiness is. Man, the details of life rob my happiness. Yet the Bible says, happy are those whose God is the Lord. Man, most days if you say, hey, Sheer, are you happy? I'd probably have to lie and fake it and say, yeah, I am. Are you kidding me? But you know what? The Bible says you can gain the whole world and lose your soul. Bad day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.